from WCMU Public Media, this is Between the Lakes, a weekly recap of the top news stories impacting central and northern Michigan. I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Coming up on the show, a former detainee at an ICE facility in northern Michigan says she was repeatedly sexually assaulted and that her attempts to alert administrators there initially went unheeded.
So I would say, my God, Lord, all I want is to get out of here. And if I suddenly say something, they're going to make me stay in this place longer.
An investigative look into the largest ICE detention facility in the Midwest. And this week's brain teaser deals with a landmark that may leave you bird-brained. We'll get to that question right after these headlines. State officials are urging residents to avoid burning anything heading into the weekend as fire danger remains at extreme levels across northern Michigan. WCMU's Emma George Griffin has more.
Northern Michigan has been without rain for days, and the National Weather Service says conditions will remain dry, windy, and warm. But parts of Michigan can expect light showers in the coming days. Lori Abel is with the Michigan Department of Natural Resources. She says burning anything outside of a proper fire pit is not allowed during this time.
Even though it looks like we've got a lot of green going on, the pines are still pretty dry, and that underbrush, that leaf litter and storm debris litter is still very dry from last year.
Abel advises residents to be cautious when using power equipment and doing lawn work. 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans, and Abel says all it takes is one spark. I'm Emma George Griffin, WCMU News.
Mackinac Island could regulate ferry operations that carry people to and from the popular tourist destination. That's under a law signed this week by Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The new law would give the island authority over ferry fares, baggage handling fees, and parking rates on both sides of the ferry routes. John Selleck is the spokesperson for a coalition of Mackinac Island businesses. He says rising ferry costs are affecting tourism. He says because the two ferry services are operated by one company, they should be treated as a regulated monopoly.
We don't disparage the company for earning a profit. It's a for-profit business. But under a monopoly setup, the city of Mackinac Island has the powers and shouldn't have to fight in court about being able to protect consumers.
The charter amendment would still have to be approved by island voters. We have reached out to the ferry company for comment. A small mid-Michigan township may be on the hook for tens of millions of dollars to a Chinese EV battery maker. WCMU's A.J. Jones has the latest in the ongoing legal battle.
At issue is Goshen's now-defunct $2.4 billion plant that was funded in part by state subsidies. Green Charter Township's board revoked a water permit they had with Goshen, which slowed the plant's development. The board voiced concerns about Goshen's public ties to the Chinese Communist Party. Goshen now argues the township violated contract laws and their rights as a company. They're suing for at least $23 million, the cost of a revoked state subsidy, among other damages. Green Charter Township Supervisor Jason Cruz.
We'll just take it as it comes. You know, we're the defense, so we're waiting to see what happens.
Michigan Congressman John Molinar, a longtime critic of the plant, called Goshen's legal actions an attempt to bankrupt the Big Rapids area community. I'm A.J. Jones, WCMU News.
The Michigan Department of Corrections is trying to recruit new correctional officers in the Upper Peninsula by raising starting wages. Officers starting out at 5 of the 6 UP prisons will now get just over $28 an hour, which comes out to an additional $10,000 a year. About 1/3 of the positions at those 5 facilities are unfilled, meaning staff there have been working relentless overtime. State Senator John DeMoose represents parts of the UP where some of these prisons are located.
This doesn't do much to help the people who've been sitting there fighting their way through this lifestyle for years. In some ways, some have taken it almost as a slap in the face that, wait, you're going to give the new guys new money, but we've been sitting here putting up with these terrible working conditions for year after year after year, and this doesn't really do much to help us.
DeMoose said he's still advocating for a bill that would let correctional officers join the state police pension plan to keep people from leaving after a few years. That bill was passed in 2024, but it's caught up in a lawsuit with various other bills that never made it to Governor Whitmer's desk. And now, it's time for this week's brain teaser. I'll pull from a hat either a random fun fact, a riddle, or a quiz question, all meant to tease your brain this weekend. So let's draw. Today's question is a Michigan landmark question. This 14-foot-tall landmark attraction in Alpena, Michigan, boasts the head of this type of bird. What is it? Again, this 14-foot-tall landmark attraction in Alpena, Michigan, boasts the head of this type of bird. What is it? Don't fly away. That answer will be up right after this. The North Lake Processing Center is the biggest immigration detention center in Michigan and the Midwest, but it can be a lonely, scary place for many people. For months, detainees alleged they've faced medical neglect and mistreatment. Now a former detainee says she was repeatedly sexually assaulted at North Lake and that her attempts to alert administrators there initially went unheeded. Michelle Jokishpolo reports, and a warning, this story contains graphic descriptions of sexual assault.
In Venezuela, Q had faced discrimination for being a trans woman. At times, that escalated into physical violence. We're only using Q's partial initial because she's a victim of alleged sexual assault.
I had received threats and abuse. In fact, I have a 400-stitch wound on my chest from a beating I was given. I had reached the point where I said, I can't take this anymore. I'm leaving.
And in the summer of 2025, that's what she did. She left everything behind to start a new life in the United States. She came on a tourist visa and planned to apply for asylum. She ended up in Pontiac, Michigan, where she found work at a barbershop. At first, her job was to get the place ready before they opened.
I earned their trust because they gave me the keys to the business, and I would walk blocks and blocks. Believe me, look, necessity leaves no choice. I had nothing, nothing.
She'd been a hairstylist for more than 30 years, so it didn't take long for Q to show off her skills, helping a client repair a wig after another barber botched it.
I took that wig and gave it a fabulous cut, Whitney Houston style, something divine. I left her looking spectacular.
It was in Pontiac that Q says her new life began to take shape.
Why? Because after that day, all the women, all the American women who wore wigs came looking for me.
Q found friends in a church, and she was even looking forward to her 50th birthday in February. But her tourist visa expired, and Immigration and Customs Enforcement arrested her. And instead of celebrating, she spent her birthday inside a male cell block of the North Lake Processing Center.
And that's when my hell began. That's when all the madness started.
Within weeks of arriving at North Lake, Q alleges that her bunkmate began acting inappropriately. She says at first, he would make sexual innuendo and threatening remarks. And then he started masturbating in front of her. This would go on for several days. Q says she was too scared to tell anyone.
Because, of course, I was already threatened by him. So I would say, my God, Lord, all I want is to get out of here. And if I suddenly say something, they're going to make me stay in this place longer.
Then the harassment and threats escalated. Q says her bunkmate would get in her bed, masturbate, and touch her. So she confided in another detainee named Jesus Moran. Moran remembers feeling worried when Q told him what was happening.
I told her, this has to be reported. This can't just be left like this. No, you can't stay silent because what if it happens to you again? Then what?
Q says she did end up calling a hotline to try to report what was going on to North Lake and ICE officials.
They have a zero-tolerance slogan with phone numbers posted everywhere. And in the end, I called those numbers desperately, and no one ever answered me.
ICE and Geo Group, the company that owns North Lake, did not respond to questions about Q's attempts to make a report. Then, Q says on the morning of March 16, her bunkmate sexually assaulted her again while strangling her with a bedsheet.
He choked me, hit me, and well, that's when he penetrated me. That same early morning, I was terrified. I went into shock, you know? I stayed like that, kind of paralyzed, almost like a panic attack.
In a statement to the Lake County Sheriff, Q's bunkmate denied that any physical contact or sexual activity occurred between them. Q remembers leaving her cell as soon as the doors opened at 5 in the morning. She called the hotlines again, and she tried to talk to a guard who didn't speak Spanish. It took several hours for Northlake staff to respond to her calls for help. Q says she explained what happened to staff, who reported it to the police. Then she was loaded into a van and taken to the emergency room.
They took me handcuffed in a van with my feet and hands shackled without any consideration, even though I had been through all of that.
According to police and medical records obtained by Michigan Public, providers documented possible evidence of bruising, bite marks, and anal tearing. Q spoke to police the next day and filed charges against her bunkmate. But 2 days after filing those charges, Q was transferred out of Northlake. She bounced around between detention centers in Arizona and Texas and got deported back to Venezuela a month later. In an emailed statement, ICE confirmed the assault allegation and said the investigation was ongoing at the time that Q was deported. Some advocates say Q's case raises questions about whether Northlake and ICE took basic steps to ensure her safety.
You have to have people who are proactively looking at what's going on in the facility so that you will know, you know, if there's a person who is in sort of imminent danger of experiencing sexual abuse, you have to do something about that.
That's Cynthia Totten, an attorney and deputy director of Just Detention International. She says the fact that Q was transferred between facilities several times could be evidence of ICE and GEO trying to be responsible.
And it also begs the question of, like, why couldn't she have been safe at the initial facility?
ICE and GEO Group did not respond to questions about how investigations are conducted after the victim has been deported.
Even in cases where people are not transferred, we see very deep problems with investigations all the time.
In Q's case, the county prosecutor is still reviewing the evidence. From Venezuela, accountability feels really far away. And her deportation didn't just remove her from the country. It cut her off from the support typically available to people who report a sexual assault.
I was a victim of sexual abuse. I had no help or support from anyone, not from the deportation officials, not from the judge, not from anyone.
Today, Q is speaking out in hopes that what happened to her won't happen to someone else. I'm Michelle Jokishpolo.
And now it's time to reveal the answer to this week's Brain Teaser. We drew a Michigan landmark question that reads, this 14-foot-tall landmark attraction in Alpena, Michigan boasts the head of this type of bird. What is it? Again, this 14-foot-tall landmark attraction in Alpena, Michigan boasts the head of this type of bird. What is it? And the answer is a bald-headed eagle. Yes, the eagle head was sculpted by Tom Moran of Moran Ironworks and debuted in Onaway's 4th of July parade in the year 2000. Moran donated it to a local foundation, which then gave it to the Besser Museum for Northeast Michigan in Alpena, which displays the head on its front lawn, and it sits there today. That's all for this edition of Between the Lakes. Don't forget to subscribe to the Between the Lakes newsletter linked in the show notes, where you'll find more of our reporting and analysis from across the region. Visit our website, wcmu.org, to find out how to listen to your local WCMU radio station. This podcast is produced in part by the members of NABIT 412. It was edited and mixed by Rick Brewer. Our theme music comes from Gabe Shaw. Mike Horace is our executive producer. And I'm your host, Tina Sawyer. Have a great weekend.